Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. More than three decades after one of the most notorious crimes in New York City history happened, AMC and Sundance Television simulcast a new spotlight on that crime, the arrest, the trial, and aftermath. It's The Prevy Murder, Death in Central Park. The 3-9 miniseries begins Wednesday, and executive producer Robert Friedman joins me next. Also ahead, Stranger Things is the People's Choice Award's big winner, time for new soup on E, our classic trivia question, and here's a question, is it time for MTV to pull its plug? What do you think? Hello everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Veterans Day 2019 on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get three free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. A very good Monday afternoon to you and all, and first things first, happy Veterans Day 2019. From all of us at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio, we salute all the veterans out there, especially the veterans that are now serving the television industry, whether it's through broadcast stations, networks, cable systems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you for your service, past and currently. We honor you today. And welcome to the program all about television. Got a good one for you. 61 degrees at the top of the hour, and we invite you to be part of the program on this Veterans Day 2019. All it takes, a phone call from you, so make it happen. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. If you're shy about using the phone, it's no problem with us because we got a chat room that works just as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or speaker screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Robert Friedman joins me here in the Big Apple after these news notes. Stranger Things picked up three People's Choice Awards last night, including Show of 2019. The Netflix attraction also earned the Best Drama Series prize, while Millie Bobby Brown was picked as Female TV Star. Riverdale co-star Carl Sprouse received the Male TV Star Award. Other winners in the E! Presented event from Los Angeles include Outlander, America's Got Talent, Zendaya, Christian Bale, and Freeform canceled Shadowhunters. This is the second year this event has run on E!, following more than 30 years on CBS under Procter & Gamble sponsorship. Winners and nominees are determined by online end. It used to be determined by a Gallup poll. After 3 years away, The Soup will make its return to E! Early 2020. The program that made household names of Greg Kinnear, Aisha Tyler, and Joel McHale, to name three, will now be hosted by actress and comedian Jade Catapretta. The Soup, which began in 1991 as a potpourri of talk show clips, expanded over time to include reality TV moments and pop culture parodies. CBS begins 2020 with a pair of new drama hours. Dick Wolf's long-awaited FBI spinoff Most Wanted comes on January 7th. While Tommy, starring Edie Falco as the first Los Angeles female police chief, premieres February 6th. Season 9 of Undercover Boss will start January 8th, paired with the 15th and final season of Criminal Minds. Look for new time periods for NCIS New Orleans and Hawaii 5-0 this coming February. Now some quickies. Freeform will celebrate Valentine's Day 2020 with the original rom-com flick, The Thing About Harry. Joke Show, Michelle Wolf's first Netflix effort since the demise of The Break, her talk show there last summer, will premiere December 10th. DC Universe is giving Titans a third season ahead of starting season 2 November 29th. And Disney Plus is less than a half day from launching as the second mega programming venture turning on this month. More about that in our next half hour. And that is news notes for today. And now joining me this half hour in New York, the executive producer of The Prevy Murder, Death in Central Park, beginning a 3-night run on AMC and Sundance TV this Wednesday. He's also the head of his own production company, Bungalow Mean Entertainment. It's a pleasure to welcome this program, Robert Friedman. Bob, welcome in.
Thank you, Simon. It's good to be here. I've known you for many years, and this is obviously a seminal moment in telling this story, so thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, Bob. And you were saying beforehand that you think it's one of the best things you have ever done in all your career in television. Why do you say that?
Well, you know, I think this is a story that resonated in America. The unfortunate crime occurred in 1986, which was an interesting time in America. I, at that time, was at MTV, as you know, and it's seared in our memory. unlike almost any other crime. I would probably argue that except for the O.J. trial, that there was nothing pre-O.J. that compared to this about being in our consciousness. In the late 80s, you couldn't pick up a magazine, a newspaper, or certainly look at television and a lead story, and there were far fewer networks then, as we all know, than there are now, and there was no social media. And of the 500,000 or so, or 500,000 murders since 1986, this definitely stands out as one of those stories that is not only one of the most interesting, but interestingly, people think that they know really all the stuff about it and how it happened, and there are a lot of things that people didn't know for a whole array of reasons.
When did you decide that this was the time to tell this story in the way you have as a three-night miniseries?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I was always upset and concerned that none of the stories, and there were many of them, whether it's on HBO or on Dateline, really talked about this through the lens of Jennifer. And that this entire crime, the way it was covered, was really an assault, in my opinion, on the memory of Jennifer Levin. I don't know if you remember, but right after the crime, soon thereafter, there was a feature film with Billy Baldwin and Laura Flynn Boyle. And subsequent to that, there have been a lot of stories, if you will. And unfortunately, this concept of this rough sex or blame the victim defense that was pervasive at the time, and in part because it was that time and might be different today, the story was never really told in its entirety with the kinds of resources and archival and tape confessions and never-before-seen documents about the case. And we were really very lucky that we were able to have Linda Fairstein, who was the prosecutor on the case, the assistant DA. We were very lucky to have the original lead investigator from the police department, who unfortunately just passed away, Mike Sheehan, just a month or so ago. And we were lucky to get access to many of Jennifer as well as Robert's friends, and probably most importantly, through the family, Jennifer's mom, Ellen, her other daughter. So the assets that we had really put us in a position to tell the story that we really wanted to tell, which I don't believe has ever been told this way. I don't know if you know this, but this started out as a four-part miniseries, if you will, on the Sundance Channel. And when we pitched this, you know, the big concern was, and we pitched this at a bunch of different networks, and immediately Sundance picked it up. And you know, it was supposed to be a four-part miniseries. And, you know, the concern always was, you know, you have this story that's been told. People think that they know the ending. We certainly, you know enough about it. You know, you can't walk down the street without someone saying, what's happening with Robert Chambers? Is he still in jail? Is he not in jail? But people thought that they pretty much knew it. And once we got into this and we began to peel back the layers, if you will, it immediately became a five-part miniseries. And about 2 months ago, or 2.5 months ago, the network decided that they also own the AMC network, the home of The Walking Dead, et cetera, that they would put this and simulcast this both on AMC and on the Sundance Channel for a couple of reasons. One, they too thought it was great, which, knock on wood, I'm thrilled. But they also thought that this was such an important story in the way we had told it that it deserved to generate a broad audience. So starting on Wednesday, this thing is going to be simulcast for the first time in the history of AMC and Sundance.
And so it's the first time that they have decided to do something unscripted together as opposed to scripted or opposed to a live special.
That's exactly correct. You know, it's funny that you say that, because when we shot this, you know, it contains some recree, as you might imagine, but the recree is really more symbolic than it is real. But the series itself feels very filmic. We were very lucky to get the staff, if you will, and the talent involved in making this. Ricky Stern and Annie Sundberg, the two directors, two women directors who recently had done Reversing Row, had done the Boston Marathon miniseries, done a number of miniseries that had come out of the HBO fold, so to speak, really are amazing storytellers. And it was very important for me to have women tell this story because of the nature of the turning point, about some of the things that were occurring at that time in terms of the justice system. And I should add, subsequently, we're doing the Epstein series for Lifetime, and they're also directing that for me. So we're thrilled to death to have someone who can really tell the story the way it's been told.
The story we're talking about is The Preppy Murder, Death in Central Park. And starting Wednesday night, it will run for 3 nights straight at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, both on AMC and on Sundance Television. Robert Friedman is the executive producer of the program. He's also the head of his own production company, Google Media and Entertainment. We'll talk about where they are going. They had a very big special last year on Epix called The Panama Papers. We'll get to that also in the course of our conversation. And we want to hear from you this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, the program all about the tube. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. If you missed our episode on Friday, our exclusive one with Matt Cornett, the co-star of High School Musical, the musical of the series, and Amanda DiPiazza, the Disney Channel director of original series who worked on that program, which had a special three simulcast or three network simulcast this past Friday on ABC Freeform Disney Channel. You can catch up on that segment and elsewhere, too. All you have to do is go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Also, check out the podcast version on iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio podcast network. When you go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you're in. You mentioned earlier that one of the things that you wanted to explore that other programs about this subject haven't has been more about Jennifer Levin. In what way do we know more about Jennifer Levin here than we did elsewhere?
Well, there are a bunch of things. First of all, we think that you get to know Jennifer in a way that's not been told because her mom and sister participated in this. The story, just because it was so enticing for the media at the time, really was a story, or trying to tell the story, of a white male, beautiful, Adonis-like character, Robert Chambers, which he was, who lived in this rarefied world in New York. Interestingly enough, he was really not that in real life. This was a young man who had failed out of a bunch of schools, whose mom, who was raised basically by a single mom, though his dad was alive, but they were divorced, who really tried very hard to get him the kinds of schooling and other sorts of trappings, if you will, by putting him into this world. She actually worked taking care of an older, wealthy patron. As a matter of fact, interestingly enough, it was Hammerstein, the grandmother Hammerstein, who grandson was my best friend in school, as in Rodgers and Hammerstein. And all she wanted him was to get these kinds of opportunities. A lot of the things that we did not hear about him, because the defense was this rough sex defense about her, about how a sexually active woman almost was blamed as the victim, as the person, as a victim, was blamed for having encouraged him to have sex. Now, remember, this was the 1980s, where it wasn't okay for women to have sex or to talk about sex or to do other stuff. So the entire way this thing was envisioned and was pictured on all of the tabloids was that she was this loose woman. It was an assault, if you will, on her memory. This was way, as we now know, before this Me Too period. So clearly it was a time where this was going on. There was a very articulate defense litigator who represented him, who subsequently passed, who pointed him and positioned him as a good lad, good boy in school. What's interesting about that was that in the jurisprudence system, that so much of what should have been admissible was not admissible, that would have characterized this criminal in a very different way. They suppressed evidence of his prior burglary activity. DNA, which was in the nascent stages of DNA, as you might imagine, was not admitted. So here was the picture of this kid who just happened to go out in the park, had sex with a woman, it was rough sex, and given her background, she was sort of the devil incarnate. As opposed to a girl who was sweet and wonderful, who was about ready to go off to college, you know, a coming of age period that we all know. None of their crew, if you will, could even imagine some of the things that he had done, which subsequently have come out publicly. So the picture of her was just really a totally unfair picture, not about a young woman who really had dreams and expectations of a great life going forward. You know, and I speak about her as the victim, but there were many victims here. And just for the sake of this discussion, I can tell you that I would think, being a parent myself, that Chambers' mother, who really had wanted to try to get their son into this new rarefied world where he would have plenty of opportunities, she too was a victim. Clearly, Jennifer's mom, you know, she was a single mom at the time, raising her kids. What an awful, horrific moment in time. She had just recently gotten divorced. And to lose a child, there's nothing that could compare with that in terms of losing a child. So we think that in this series, we give you a picture of who the real Jennifer was. We were very lucky here to have archival and other documents from the case and tape confessions, some of which had never been seen before, but certainly in an in-depth look into really who she was. And we think we also effectively give a look into his world, this world that few people knew. Most people remembered what he was like on that cover of a New York magazine or a People magazine or in the front of the news every day. And this was a guy, to a certain extent, because it was a plea bargain at the end, who only received 5 to 15 year sentence, so he served 15 years for this horrific crime. He's still in jail because he got 19 years on top of that when he got out for drug abuse, which sort of speaks to how twisted, if you will, the judicial system can be. So I think that we really do give a good snapshot. The other thing that we do here, Simon, is the 80s, as I said, it was 1986. We all grew up, if you grew up in New York City, you didn't drive in the city for the most part. And we sort of grew up as latchkey kids. You know, on a Friday night, if you were 16 years old, you'd go to a bar, the hangout, so to speak. The drinking age was 18, so it wasn't that preposterous. And you'd go, these bars had names, first names of men. So this was Dorian's, right? I remember going to Mike Malkin's and going to Don Benton's. There were these havens or destinations that people would sort of meet up, and we kind of lived there. And if it was late at night and it was dark out, the patron who owned the bar would put you in a taxi to make sure you got home. So I think we give a great snapshot of what this world was really like, which is really just interesting to do it in the filmic way that we did it. And I think it gives you an understanding of how these things happened and could have happened at that time.
The Crappy Murder, Death in Central Park. That is the 3-night miniseries that begins this Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on AMC and Sundance TV. Both of them running the program at the very same time. Robert Freeman, executive producer of the program. He also runs his own production company, Bungalow Mean Entertainment. We're going to get into what they are up to these days. And he joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appelbaum will be live on this Veterans Day 2019. Again, a salute to all the veterans. And congratulations to all the companies in the TV and media industry that are hiring veterans. Keep doing the job you're doing. You're doing really, really great work. If you have a question or comment for Robert, our remaining minutes with him, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Your company Bungalow did a very good special last year on Epics called The Panama Papers. Any update on what that documentary produced?
Yeah, you know, it seems, Simon, I've been spending the last year of my life at Bungalow telling these stories, you know, these kind of important stories, if you will, of corruption, of privilege, of victim shaming, and abuse. And what's kind of interesting is that they still seem to exist today, decades later in many cases. We did the Panama Papers initially because we thought the story was fascinating, that there were 250 reporters or journalists, if you will, that for a period of a couple of years kept a secret of this investigation. So we initially went into this just thinking, wow, this is like an amazing thing. How can an organization, and we wanted to tell that story, and we told it with a director who you've probably heard of, Alex Winter, who's fabulous. He's in he was actually a piece of talent in Ted's Adventure. He was Ted, but as a documentarian, he was amazing. And we think that the story, which subsequently, as you know, brought Deutsche Bank to its knees and some others, was an amazing look inside how these organizations, and organizations that are not only corporate but countries like Panama, could do this kind of thing and get away with this stuff, where a lot of the offshore financing that has been done and offshore interests, some are illegal and some are illegal, were going on and ended up, if you will, in a disparity of income and wealth that has occurred. You know, that how the 99% has been affected by the, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of money that's been sheltered and not taxed abroad, in addition to the illegal sort of aspects of that business. And similarly, I don't know if you know this, but we're going to be telling the Epstein story for a lifetime. And that's another story that when you think about this and the timing of this, where there is still this shocking behavior that can go on 10 years after a conviction for the crime that he was found guilty of. So we think that the context, if you will, of the times that we're living in, as opposed to the context in many instances where these crimes and abusive and terrible behaviors occurred, it's a very interesting opportunity to take a look at this context and to put things from the past into the context of today. And certainly there's an appetite for it, we know, in terms of the many stories that have been told. You know, it's interesting, just to let you know, that when I talk about the context of these things, when I look back at 1986 and the trial in 1989, this was the first time that there was the first ever sex crimes prosecution unit in New York. That's an amazing thing. You know, we all grew up on SVU, but to think back not that long ago to the late 80s, and that there was not such a unit, and that when Linda Fairstein actually did this case, she was one of the first women ever to prosecute a murder case. So we think whether it's the Preppy murder or whether it's Panama Papers, regardless, that the context in which it's occurring is fascinating.
Given your work of late running your own production companies, This Now, Before That, Classic Media, what do you think about the overall TV environment we're now in, where we now have mega programming services? They're available on smart TV sets and smart devices. Apple TV Plus launching 2 weeks ago. Now Disney Plus launching tomorrow. Next year, Peacock in April, HBO Max in May. And then all these other services that are also using smart TV sets and smart devices to reach people.
Well, listen, I've got to say, this is a great time to be on my side of the business producing, because you have a lot more and newer buyers that have tremendous resources. And interestingly enough, a lot of these more effete buyers are really doing some of the more premium, and I put quotes around it, entertainment. So for someone like us at Bungalow, where we do everything from formatted television, we did Give on NBC, which won an Emmy Award, which was, you know, just great for young adults, but getting to be at the forefront of cultural and societal change by making this kind of content that drives this change has been one of the great privileges of my life. So certainly for the foreseeable future, while there are probably more players than there will end up being, it is a great time to be in the television business. I had started at MTV for a decade, and then I was the co-chair of New Line Cinema for a decade, and then worked in other venues like Radical Media, where we did the pilot for Mad Men and Iconoclast. So I've been very fortunate, but there's probably never been a better time to be in premium television than today.
You mentioned Give, which is an award-winning series and was part of NBC's The More You Know Saturday morning schedule. Are there any other plans to do additional miniseries or specials to do another regular series?
Yeah, we another, yeah, we have an awful lot of series that are in development now. There's something that we're doing with History Channel that we hopefully will, you know, become one of their biggest go-to series. We just recently finished a series on history called Around the Corvette. The pilot of the series aired in the spring. It's when it was we actually created a 1983 Corvette through the lens of 36 other Corvettes that you may remember had been part of a giveaway 25 years ago on VH1. We've retooled all of these Corvettes, and we're going to be doing a big raffle where you can actually win these Corvettes with episodes beginning this weekend on the History Channel in their auto block. So we're very active right now. We have an awful lot of stuff that's going. We just finished Landmarks Live, a big music series on PBS. We have a lot in development right now, as you might imagine. We did a film last year called The Confirmation with Clive Owens that went out theatrically. We did another doc that was really intriguing, particularly for you and the people who are listening to you. We did something called Spring Break on Showtime that I believe now is on Netflix, about spring break in 1989. So it seems that this millennial generation is at a place where they can't get enough of this stuff. We developed Insatiable, which is on Netflix right now, a scripted series, and Modern Love is on Amazon. So this is just the golden age of television.
I want to mention Insatiable. That's the series with Debbie Ryan of Disney Channel fame, Jessie. She was a star of that for several years, and I believe Insatiable is coming back for a second season.
Yes, it is. It came back for a second season on Netflix, and it's doing great. So we're thrilled. And when we can do something like Preppy, where a lot of good has come from it, we hope. I don't know if you know this, but Ellen Levin herself worked tirelessly for the last decade to get a lot of rape shield laws passed, where past behavior cannot be used in a woman's case to help convict her going forward. So there's a lot of good stuff that comes out of these revisits, if you will, and a lot of current investigation. So we're very excited about it.
The latest from Bungalow Entertainment, Robert Friedman's company, starts this Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on AMC and Sundance TV. It's The Preppy Murder, Death in Central Park. Check it locally for where AMC and Sundance Television are available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to either www.amc.com or www.sundancetv.com. www.amc.com and www.sundancetv.com. The Preppy Murder, Death in Central Park, the latest program from Bumblebee Entertainment, which has got a lot on the fire. And if you haven't seen the Panama Papers on Epix, check out epix.com. I believe that you can find that special still there. It's a really tremendous special that has a lot of implications for our nation and our world. Robert Friedman, the head of Bumblebee Entertainment, executive producer of Preppy Murder, thank you again for joining us. Thanks for spending some of your Veterans Day time with us, and we really appreciate it. Good luck with this miniseries, and have a wonderful rest of this year in 2020 with your company.
Thanks, Simon. I appreciate it and look forward to seeing you soon.
Absolutely. Take care. Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Robert Freeman, executive producer of The Preppy Murder, Death in Central Park, the head of Bumblebee Entertainment, joining me here in New York. More from Robbie Satellite coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. You ever wonder what makes people really fly in life? Think about this. It may be because people are general, as opposed to specializing in one aspect of life. At least that's the theory of a new audiobook out by David Epstein called Range. It's all about how being a generalist rather than a specialist can get you ahead in life. You can try that theory out for size when you hear it as one of a set of audiobooks you can get right now free with a one-month trial to Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information with over 108,000 titles to choose from. You listen on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now this Veterans Day 2019 on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised and you get 3 free audiobooks and that one-month trial with great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. What's more, 2 of those free audiobooks come from the growing catalog of Audible Originals, original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway regional theater from across the nation, and the best one woman and one man shows. And again, it's all free for you with that 1 month trial. So hear for yourself how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world on this Veterans Day 2019. Go to audibletrial.com/televised and sign up. When we come back, we'll celebrate half century of Sesame Street. We'll get ready for Disney Plus's launch tomorrow. And we'll also have an update in our Up segment on the Theme Spark campaign for Sideways Smile, that Asian American comedy. But first, I got a question to pose. It's a toughie. Is it time for MTV to pull the plug? I'll make a case why it might be, but I'd like to hear from you too. So we'll get to that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com and www.speaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Cybersecurity News on Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, the latest details on the growing world of cybersecurity on Cybersecurity News. This Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, if not before we go on the air, this Friday on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Veterans Day Hour of 2019. Thank you again for joining us. And once again, thank you to all the veterans that are tuning us in. And all of you out there, thank you for the service you provide. And for those of you who are veterans in the entertainment and media industry and the TV industry, we thank you for the service you currently do as well. Coming up this half hour of our classic trivia question of the week, we have a celebration of Sesame Street's 50th birthday. We have a look ahead to Disney Plus. But first, this comment. And it's a comment that's thought about for a long time, and I really want to hear from you about this, too. So I'm going to pose it, and I'd like to hear from you. So if you'd like to, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Once upon a time, MTV arguably was the most exciting, vibrant, innovative, cutting-edge television network around. It gave the music video space to become an art form before our eyes. Almost every hour we saw something new, something exciting from the 80s and the 90s about what music videos could be. Rather than have people standing in front of a microphone and instruments singing their hearts out, you saw the use of new video techniques and computer graphics and choreography and storylines and so on and so forth. And then when MTV in the late 80s got into series programming, it got into it in a big way with cutting-edge shows like Remote Control, The Real World, Daria, Aeon Flux, Liquid Television, Total Quest Live, and so much more. The 80s and 90s were a very exciting time for MTV. It was amazing to grow up with it. I sometimes went to see tapings of Remote Control after work at Cablevision Magazine, and boy, was it a lot of fun to hobnob with Ken Ober and Colin Quinn and all the other folks who made that show happen. It was a love affair, and you could see it from the studio audience every time they would go gaga when the cameras were on. And then, of course, it was the MTV Video Music Awards every year. Music video, just several years after MTV was born, became such an art form, they got their own award special, and it was a happening. Along with the VJs, MTV News, Rock the Vote, it was an incredible, incredible time of creativity, diversity, inclusiveness. Well, lately, when I turn on MTV, it just comes across to me, maybe I'm off my rocker, and yes, I'm very older than before, but it comes across to one note. And that one note is really a one show, and that one show is called Ridiculousness. You may have heard of it. It's by Rob Dyrdek. It started in 2011. They've made over 400 episodes ever since. 40 episodes are now in production for the rest of this year in 2020. And in case you haven't seen it, it's a video clip show similar to America's Funniest Home Videos, of people trying all sorts of crazy stunts, often getting injured in the process, and having it seen before a live audience in a studio, as well as a couple of celebrities or YouTube-type influencers commenting on the action with Dyrdek. It should be pointed out that unlike America's Video, Funniest Home Videos, where you send in the video, these videos are from the internet that MTV and the show producers pick out. Here's the problem. It seems every time you turn on MTV, morning, noon, night, what do you see? Another episode of Ridiculousness, followed by another episode of Ridiculousness, followed by another episode of Ridiculousness. And again, it's like morning, noon, and night. And I've been seeing this like for the last 6 months. It's like, it's the All Ridiculousness channel. Is this what MTV really ought to be, given what it's done in the past? I'm not saying we have to go back to the flower days of music, but I would like to see the music video come back to glory days, given all the new technology like drones and GoPro and so on and so forth. But for crying out loud, it just comes across that one show is not making this network. And yet, that's what you're finding. Well, that's what it sounds like you're finding, or it looks like what you're finding. And it makes me wonder, is it time, after nearly 40 years, for MTV to pull the plug? Maybe, is this the time to do so? Especially now that Viacom, its parent company all along, and CBS are about to merge. I really don't know. I'd like to think that the powers that be at MTV, led by Chris McCarthy and crew, can see through the weeds and see, hey, there's got to be a way to diversify this service and make it more than just one show or one type of show. Whether it's an unscripted show like Jersey Shore or a clip show like Ridiculousness. There has to be something out there for its audience, something new to discover. And maybe to revitalize the music video form and everything around it so that this network can come to life again. Or maybe it is time to pull the plug. Maybe it's time to say sayonara. You had a great run, especially in your first 20 years. Nothing to regret. Just that maybe it's time to put it out of existence. I'm throwing it out right now, and I'd love to hear what you think. And if it is the end of the line for MTV, if it ends up being that way under a Viacom-CBS merger, like I said, nothing to regret. It had its day. It had a great day. And so many wonderful talents came out of those programs and those music videos, both in front of and behind the camera. And maybe, just maybe, it's time to stop the TV star. We'll see. And again, I'd like to hear from you. What do you think? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Or if you want to, before the rest of this half hour, before we reach the top of the hour, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, simonapple04 by name. That's time. Let's do our classic trivia contest right now. And then when we come back, we'll have some things to celebrate. Sesame Street turning 50. And the launch of Disney Plus tomorrow. But first, let's do our classic trivia question of the week. Let's pose our question. We're still waiting for an answer. We posed the question originally last Monday, and the book in play is, as our prize, is Monty Python FAQ, all that's left to know about spam, radio spam, nudging Bruce's, and spam, by Chris Bartoni, Brian Cove, and Jeff Massey, one of the great, wonderful applause books in the FAQ banner. Here's the question. Name the 1950s Western TV series starring Don Durant. Name the 1950s Western TV series starring Don Durant. And you can see episodes of that series right now on YouTube. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. When you email, please enclose your name and your full mailing address, so if you're the winner, we get the prize back to you as quickly as possible. And again, that prize is the Monty Python FAQ book by Chris Bersani, Brian Cogan, and Jeff Massey. And if you missed the question a moment ago, we'll see if we can put it on before we wrap up today. If not, we'll have it first thing tomorrow morning for you on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. But remember, in order to win, you got to play in. That's the way it goes. So do so, and all the very best. Wow. It's amazing to think that 50 years ago today, one of the most important milestones in all of television started. For many public television stations, it started at 9 a.m. in the morning. It came from an organization called the Children's Television Workshop and was called Sesame Street. It ran on what was then known as National Educational Television. And indeed, this project was considered so important that some commercial TV stations, including WPX here in New York, ran the program, simulcast it with public television, Channel 13 here in New York, commercial-free, because they saw the value in what this series was all about. And what was it all about 50 years ago and a day? it was about a street in an urban city, the people and the non-humans inhabiting the street. The humans of the time were portrayed by such folks as Matt Robinson, Loretta Long, Will Lee, and Val McGrath. A very diverse bunch. And yes, there were Jim Henson's incredible Muppets, Oscar, the Grouch, the Cookie Monster, Big Bird, etc. And yes, every episode was sponsored by a number, and sometimes a number and a letter, like the number C, or the number 3, and the letter C. Sesame Street has become a staple of television ever since. It is one of the most inventive programs on the air. It has presented over 4,000 episodes. And a lot has changed. Children's Television Workshop is now Sesame Workshop. The episodes are now a half hour rather than an hour. They're now running first run on HBO, then go on public television 9 months later. And starting next May, it will become an attraction for smart TV sets and smart TV devices, first run on HBO Max. It's still produced in New York. It still has an amazing crew of humans and non-humans. The Muppets are still there. Some of the great songs are still there. And yes, those episodes are still sponsored by letters and numbers and a few other things too. And one other thing hasn't changed, which is its wonderful imaginative ability to reach kids and their parents and teach kids in a very entertaining way about not just letters and numbers, English and math, but also how to live life and how to be with people and how to accept others as well as yourself, accepting yourself. A lot of great highlights over the years, including the brilliant theme song and other wonderful songs by Joe Raposo, such as It's Not Easy Being Green and Who Are the People in Your Neighborhood. And over the last 50 years, Sesame Street has won over 180 Emmy Awards, 11 Grammy Awards for its music and other sequences. It's produced over 35 specials seen on public television. There have been a number of spin-offs segments too, like Elmo's World. And it has paved the way for so many wonderful people and characters to be part of our lexicon, like Elmo, like the Cookie Monster, like Bert and Ernie, like Rubber Ducky, like the wonderful question, can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? And those wonderful songs from Joe Raposo and others. And the terrific work by Jones Ganscooney, by Dave Cannell, the original executive producer, who came from Captain Kangaroo fame, from John Stone, the original producer, director, and one of the key writers, Norman Stiles, and the wonderful, terrific Muppeteers, Frank Oz and Carol Spinney, and so many more, and Jim Henson himself. Sesame Street has accomplished all it wanted to accomplish back in 1969 and far, far, far more. And while the times have changed, the length of the episodes have changed, where you find them first have changed, again, one thing hasn't, and that is its wonderful ability to inspire, educate, and entertain at the same time. And chances are, many of you out there listening to this program, you grew up one way or another on Sesame Street. Sesame Street will continue into 2020 and hopefully for many, many more years beyond. So happy 50th in the day, Sesame Street. We love where you stand. We love coming to your neighborhood. And we love what your neighborhood has taught all of us. And oh, by the way, not just all of us in this country, but all of us around the world with all the many versions of Sesame Street, like the Spanish language, Plaza Sesamo. So thank you, Sesame Street, in any language, in any country, for what you have offered to all of us over this last half century. And I have a hunch that for many, many more years to come, the kids in all of us, our kids to come, will ask this question. Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? And now it's time for Up as an update, where we catch up on guests and topics we have covered on this program. A few months ago, we had the pilot makers of the Asian American National Film Festival here in New York, and over the last few weeks, we've been showcasing a Seed and Spark fundraising campaign for one of those pilots, whose maker, Hang Glenn, was on this program called Sideways Smile. If you haven't heard about it, it's about an Asian-American woman who finally becomes, well, let's say, a little more aware of her body. And I'll keep it at that. And it's very, very funny. It's very touching. It's really wonderful. In the last few months, Sideways Smile, through CNSPART, has had to raise $15,000. They've already made 6 episodes, which have been seen on the web. They would like to make more and perhaps get it on a network, a Netflix, a Hulu, a cable network, maybe even a broadcast network in some fashion. When last we left Sideways Smile, they had reached 55% of their goal. They had reached about $7,000 to $8,000 of the total that they were raising. Well, as of 11 a.m. today, they are now 3/4 of the way to their goal. With less than 3 days to go, they have raised $11,360 out of $15,000. They again have less than 3 days to go, and so it looks like the campaign will end on Wednesday at midnight. We'll keep tabs on it, and on Friday's show, we'll let you know how they ultimately turned out. So once again, CNSPART's Sideways Smile crowdfunding campaign, as of early this morning, $11,360, 75% of their goal of $15,000. And by the way, if you want to make that contribution to that campaign, just go to CNSPART.com and check out Sideways Smile for yourself. Well, before we go, we have 2 more things to say. One is that we are less than half a day away now from the launch of Disney Plus. And with that time remaining, one thing to me is quite clear. They have done practically everything you need to do to launch powerfully tomorrow morning. They have used all their resources incredibly. They've used their theme parks. They've used the Disney Channel. They had The Little Mermaid Live last Tuesday. They had the 3 network simulcast last Friday of High School Musical, the musical series on ABC, Freeform, and Disney Channel. I had a chance to see the program. I can tell you, it's pretty good. I'm looking forward to seeing more episodes. The cast is wonderful. What they do is terrific. And they really put it through. And incidentally, today, The Hollywood Reporter just gave a great review of another series they're doing, the Unscripted Encores, which was actually tried out as an ABC special a while ago, where the cast of a High School Musical was reunited to do a performance of the musical they did way back when. And the Hollywood Reporter, I've seen the episode so far, and so far, it's to their big liking. When the football games were on ESPN on Saturday, you saw banners every so often saying, sign up for Disney+. Very discreet, very well stated, and well put together at the bottom of the screen. They have done everything. Now it's time for opening day. And as you know, last week we had a comment and then later a Media Village column about the Apple TV launch, which came off as very invisible. It was almost like the Twilight Zone episode of When the Sky is Opened, when 3 astronauts come back to Earth from mission space. One by one they disappear. All knowledge of them is dropped. All memory of them is erased from everybody's mind. And that's what it sort of happened with Apple TV Plus more than a week and a half ago. I hope that Disney Plus does not repeat that situation. I have a sense they won't, because of the way they've been going with all the pre-launch activities they've done, you get a sense that that Bob Iger, the head of Disney, is going to be all over the map along with his people tomorrow. I'd be shocked if they didn't ring the opening or the closing bell at the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. I'd be shocked if he didn't show up on CNBC interviewed by Julia Boorstin, as he was last week when Disney had its excellent quarterly results. And I'm certain that wherever they are available, and in fact, here in New York, they're going to have some sort of pop-up or position store somewhere in Manhattan, which will invite people to check out Disney Plus for themselves and sign up on the spot. That's proactive. That's the proactive we were hoping that an Apple TV can still do. I hope they will do. The one thing I wish that Disney Plus did do was to do more with the press, was to do events here in New York and Los Angeles and elsewhere where we had the chance up close and personal for the public's benefit to meet the producers, meet the people behind High School Musical, the musical series, The Mandalorian, Encore, the new movie version of Lady and the Tramp with actual animals playing the roles, et cetera, et cetera. That would have been nice. I hope they will ultimately do that. And I'm very happy that we did have Matt Cornett, the co-star of High School Musical, the musical series, as well as Amanda Manasidiaksa, the director from an original series of Disney Channel, with us on Friday's episode. So thank you, Matt and Amanda, for doing it. Thanks to Disney Channel for putting it together. And again, we'll see what happens tomorrow, but you get a real good feel that they are going to make the most of their launch time. This is not going to be an invisible deal. This is going to be front, center, wide open with the public. And that's a good thing. And hopefully Apple TV Plus can learn from what they're doing and take some cues and get more proactive. But so far, for Disney Plus, so great. And finally, before we go, again, on this Veterans Day 2019, we join everybody at Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and iHeartRadio in saluting people who served their time in the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Coast Guard, Special Forces, etc. Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you provided for this nation and this world. And thank you to all the television companies, whether it's the broadcast networks, syndicators, production companies, cable operators, the Netflixes, Hulus, Amazons, etc. of the world, for hiring veterans the last few years and giving them an opportunity to make themselves stars in peacetime as well as wartime or on the battlefront. Let's keep that up. And again, to all of you veterans out there, this is your day. You are not alone. You are recognized by the American public and by the world for what you provide and what you're still providing by being on this earth. We salute you, we honor you, we appreciate you, and we hope you stay safe. And as we say at the end of our shows, stay well and stay tuned. Again, I want to thank Robert Friedman, the executive producer of The Preppy Murder, Death in Central Park, former MTV executive, former head of Classic Media, now has his own, again, his own production company, Bungle Me Entertainment, for being with us. We don't know yet who will be on our show Friday, so stay tuned to our Facebook and Twitter pages for that information. And next week, we'll have three episodes of the program. We can tell you that we'll have a special episode on Wednesday, and among our guests, we'll have Two to Keep You Behind, Brightline, Chief Executive Officer Jacqueline Covelli, and Chief Strategy Officer Rob Atzman. We'll get their thoughts about the smart TV universe, sets and devices, and where we're going with such ventures as Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, HBO Max, Peacock, Topics, etc. So watch for that. That's next Wednesday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And also, we hope the following week, Thanksgiving week, we will do what we did last year, which is to have episodes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all at this very hour. So stay tuned for developments, okay? And again, you can check us out on Facebook or on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. UBC Simon TWBT. And once again, let's see that classic trivia question of the week, if you missed it earlier in the hour, for the Monty Python FAQ book. The question, name the 1950s Western television series starring Don Durant. Name the 1950s Western TV series starring Don Durant. Believe it or not, the show was a hit, and you'd be very surprised to find out why it wasn't renewed for a second season. Really amazing. And you can check out episodes of that program right now on YouTube. So again, if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're emailing from. We love hearing from you, so make sure you do that. And if you are the winner, we'll announce you on the program, and then we'll get the prize out to you as soon as possible. Make sure that when you email, you put down your full mailing address so we can get that to you as quickly as possible. Remember, we love hearing from you. What do you think about today's episode? What's your thoughts about Fitzdockery specials as The Preppy Murder? What's your thoughts on MTV? Is it time to pull the plug, or is it time for maybe a new effort to revitalize that channel? Love to hear from you. So, again, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. And remember, also, you can use my email to suggest an item for our regular feature, Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention from anybody? We want to give it the attention, and we will, but we got to hear from you. And when we do, we will give you the credit. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. First come, first serve. Remember, if you came in late on today's program, or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, we've had some beauties so far this month, all you got to do is go to our homepage. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, you can always check out the podcast 24/7 anytime you like, and it's several places. At Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast App, iTunes, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you are in. And, again, we love hearing from you. This is a two-way interactive dialogue, folks, so make it happen. We love hearing from you. I do respond to email and social media within 24 hours. Why? Because, as we like to say, Veterans Day 2019 and any day, what you say matters. So make it happen. We really love to hear from you. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate at Blog Talk is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For three free audiobooks and a one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York on this Veterans Day 2019. Thank you for listening. To all the veterans out there, thank you for your service. And to those companies that are hiring veterans, including companies in the TV industry, thank you for doing so and keep up the great work. You have wonderful people working on the home front for you. We'll be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to today, this Veterans Day, including the rest of this week and Friday, please make it safe. And make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.